This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Hey, welcome in, Danny and Dusty. And we are coming to you live and on the road at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Oregon Convention Center. We have a sweet setup here, as the people that are watching on the YouTubes can see. Our camera is very high because we have to get sweet cars in the background too.
They're better than us.
Yeah, we are on the couch. I'm just gonna call it a couch.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no
couch memes on the internet. They go sideways on you real quick. So we're just on a couch. There's no way that this gets edited poorly for us in no way, shape, or form.
No.
But that's where we are.
It's comfy. We'll
be, it is very comfy. And the fan's going to be out here all day long.
All
from
day.
Right now till 7 p.m. when Isaac and Suk call it quits for the weekend. The fan will be here on these couches. We are in the garage, so go to Exhibit Hall E if you want to come by. Doors just open. People are starting to filter in and file in. This place is pretty awesome.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff that I can't afford.
Well, I saw they have I was told by one of the organizers here, Mike, he said they have a self-driving Tesla here. Mm-hmm. It is the only one in the United States of America.
It's a weird-looking car.
It is.
It's a weird looking car.
It opens, like, the doors open like a Lambo.
Like Gull Wing.
Yeah. And I don't like the hubcaps.
Butterfly doors.
Yeah, butterfly doors. I don't like the hubcaps because it's just like a solid wheel.
Yeah.
It's gold. I'll post pictures of it. But I don't know how to handle the future. The future's scary to me because the doors are open on it. Obviously, self-driving car doesn't need a steering wheel.
Yeah, which is...
There's nothing there.
Weird to think about. Like, you can't even, take control if you want to.
Screen in the middle, and then just your normal seats. I feel like I would
why
not
just,
know...
Why do a bench seat? Like, if it's a self-driving car, why
that's
don't
a
you,
great
like,
call.
Like, have it a bench seat and have more seating?
That's a really good call. I don't know.
If there's no steering wheel, what does it matter?
I don't know. I don't know the answers to this. Why are you asking me like I'm Elon Musk or something? Okay. I don't know.
Imagine being in the front seat, like... Just chilling, like
yeah.
If you're by yourself, wouldn't it be nice, kind of nice to just sit in the middle, and, like have some space and not be up against the door?
I feel like it should recline back. It should be a bench seat that reclines back, and it can be a bed if you're on a long road trip. Just take a nap and go.
It's self-driving.
I mean, what are you going to do? You can't take the wheel at any point. You know, just go ahead and do that. I'm with you.
Forget Jesus. Take the wheel.
I don't
want to take the wheel. I don't know what's going on here.
Don't know. Don't. I see. I'd feel very uncomfortable with it. I feel like if I'm sitting in that seat, I would not know what to do with my hands.
I say, Ricky Bobby?
As if I've never sat as a passenger in a car. I would just be like, if I'm on the left side, I would be going and reaching for the steering wheel. If I'm in Europe, I'd be on the right side. I'd be reaching for a steering wheel. I don't know.
I've been in the car when in one of the Teslas when they flipped on the automatic driver thing.
Yeah,
and it's very, what's the right word that I'm looking for? It's not nerve wracking. It's a step above that. It's like it makes you want to crawl up the chair.
Okay.
Because you're just like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it's like...
Which is weird, because I've been in cockpits of planes when they flip on autopilot and they don't have...
Yeah, I think it would be more like if another grown man were to come up and just whisper the word moist into your ear.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like a big, burly, straight, like that kind of, ooh.
Yeah, like, whoa, what are we doing here?
It's off-putting.
Yeah.
If Jeff Russ was just lurking around bars, just walking up and saying the word moist, that's the feeling that it gave you, huh?
Yeah, that's see? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, promotion's got his Tara's over here going,
crawling
what
up the couch.
Are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
But Rust, she didn't hear what Rust had to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's the moral of the story there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So we're partying on this Friday. We are here at the Oregon Auto Show, and Motorcycle Show.
Mm.
The Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Convention Center. It is today, tomorrow, and Sunday out here at the Convention Center. Family Day. Presented by Country Financial is Sunday, February 23rd. Kids 15 and under, they come in for free with a paid adult ticket. So
there you go. Bring the kids.
Yeah. Bring the kids out here. If you want to bring the kids out here,
don't
Sunday
touch
is
anything.
Family
it's far
day.
Too expensive.
Well, you break it, you buy it. That's what
I've
heard.
Tell you right now, you don't want to do that because nothing in here is cheap.
No. But you know what is cheap? You can get in the door.
Indeed.
Visitors can receive a $3 ticket discount. By donating 3 cans of non-perishable food, thanks to the Safeway Foundation and the Sunshine Division. So go ahead, bring 3 cans of food, $3 off your ticket, getting in the door. So the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show down here at the Oregon Convention Center, it's awesome. They just don't have the self-driving Tesla. They got all the new models of cars. They've got just some awesome, awesome vehicles that are around here. I love it. I love this. Like, my buddy has, we're right next to one of those pop-up camper tents.
And it's like out of the future. This thing is wild.
So, and my friend has one, and he tells me about it all the time. He has it on the top of his Tacoma that he has, and I'm like, why do you have that there all the time? And he's like, well, it's not like something you can really, like, take off. It's really big when you pop it out. And I was like, how big can it be? It's really damn big. I'm now looking at it. I've never seen it popped out.
Yeah.
And, dude, that's pretty awesome. And you're up away from all the animals and the riffraff and whatever. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
It's
I got everything here.
I don't know if I'm getting up there anytime soon, though.
I don't think you are.
Yeah. And it's got a little ladder on it, but height and injuries, not good for me.
Yeah.
I would find a way to hurt myself.
Yeah, you would. I mean, that midnight pee, you're taking a tumble down the ladder.
Yeah,
it's not going to be good. That wouldn't be good.
Because, you know, I'm probably bringing the Crocs up in there with me.
Yeah.
And then I don't go into sport mode, and I step down the ladder, and
see?
I slip out of the back of the... I can already see how this is going.
Yeah, I can.
This
I think
is not
we all
going
can.
Well.
But you know what is really catching my attention here?
Mm.
We're right in front of a bar.
Yes.
So
yes, we are.
Outside of just staring at the bar, directly to the right... is a Pinewood Derby track.
Indeed.
You remember those? Did you ever make those?
I made them in Boy Scouts, and I won every single year because we
cheated.
Well,
yeah, no, shocker.
Well, it wasn't cheating.
It's the least surprising. Danny, you literally said we cheated. I go, surprising. You're like, well, we didn't cheat.
Well, we technically did not cheat. We just optimized everything to the extreme. My dad owns a CNC machine sales and repair firm, and so we may or may not have programmed a machine to... cut the box that you start out with that solid piece of wood, and it was the most optimal path. It actually had aerodynamics factored in, and the weight balance was perfect. But when they would let the cars go, mine would be almost at the end by the time somebody would get to like halfway down the ramp, and everybody's like, okay.
How many
had the rubber band airplane one?
Okay, so did you like
also,
bore it out and just
and
put weights in the front of it too?
The airplane,
because that'd be cheating.
Well, no, like,
no, your Pinewood car.
No, we we put the weights exactly where they needed to be.
Okay.
And
well,
we
good.
Made it as aerodynamic as physically possible. And it smashed. Actually, I still have the car.
My experience
it's in the little kid box.
Not like that. Mm. No. I remember taking a lot of L's doing that.
You out there with your Swiss Army knife, like whittling down by hand?
Here's the thing. My dad, he's got a buddy, and they still, and there's like a big track, then this guy has like a huge event where they do a Pinewood car derby. Mm. My dad still does this. Like, it's my dad and a bunch of kids, and like... bunch of his buddies, they'll make these cars and then they'll race them right on down the track. Still into it. That man is 73 years old.
Hey, look, man, if you like working with wood, you like working with wood.
Well, I think it's more of when you have a lot of time on your hands, you sit there and you find things to fill that time.
But again, I mean, is he like whittling by hand?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing here?
There's no, I don't think he should be trusted with power tools.
Oh, okay. I mean, look, again, I'm literally programming it, putting it inside a machine, and the machine is cutting it for me.
I got a toolbox when I was like 9, and he handed it to me, and he said, somebody's got to learn how to use these. And I was like, tools? Mm. He's like, yep. Go ahead. And I will say, it worked. I'm a little bit more handy than my dad.
There you go.
Moderately.
Look, I am very lucky in that my dad has a shop with every tool known to man. It's the kind of place where if you walk into it and you can't find what you need, you are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, my little tool cases at the house, and I've got probably more than most people do, just because that's my dad and my family kind of helped, kind of like, okay, here's what you need, like, to make sure you can handle everything around the house. But anytime I need something, I go, hey, Dad, I'm going to come over here real quick, and I'm going to go borrow something. And it's very helpful. That way I don't have to go spend like $700 on something or to go rent something.
Okay.
Or it's very, very, very handy.
We've got, we are off and rolling here. We are at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Oregon Convention Center. We're going to be here till 3. Isaac and Suk going to be taking over on the casting couch after us at 3 o'clock. Going to be here till 7. And if you're watching on YouTube, enjoy the views. We've got classic cars right behind us. You've got the couch right here. It's going to be a fun day at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show. Again, tickets, you can get $3 off. 3 canned food items. Family Day is coming up on Sunday, where kids under 15 get in free with a paid adult. So come on down, hang out. We've got a lot of sports that we need to get to as well. The Blazers back at it last night in Moda Center. If this was a season where it mattered, fans would have been livid at the officiating at the end of that game.
Ooh, buddy.
I'm happy with the way that the game was officiated at the end, though, because the result went the Blazers' way in the standings.
Mm.
In the bad way, which is the good way.
Oh.
And we'll talk about it next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are live at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Oregon Convention Center. Doors just opened. There's a lot of folks going through. We've got classic cars behind us. Mm. We've got futuristic cars out to the side. What do they call those? The future ones?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what word you're looking for here.
Concept car.
Oh, okay.
The Tesla concept self-driving car, only one in the United States, is here.
Yeah, it's quite the contrast. Yeah. You've got the self-driving car, and then behind us we've got a 57 Chevy.
Yeah, there's like a Model T over there somewhere. It's like,
yeah, I saw one of the new Corvette Stingrays, Porsche GT3. They had the new Supra. I mean, there's everything. I mean, you want your electric GMCs. There's stuff everywhere.
Let's go. They got all of it. So come on down. Party on. Blazers got back underway. The unofficial start to the second half of the season. Or the unofficial second half of the season. As I hate it that they call it the second half of the season, being it is 26 games left that the Blazers have now.
Yeah, no.
But last night went the Blazers' way. They played competently after the first quarter.
That quarter and a half. Quarter and a half.
That was a team that was like, you guys really enjoyed that All-Star break, didn't you?
So the crazy thing about this is I don't have every single player's movement tracked during the All-Star break, yep. But nobody really went anywhere crazy. Like, nobody really went to Mexico or Turks and Caicos and, like, turned up Bahamas or anything like that. Everybody went home.
Huh.
Like, Donovan went back to Connecticut. Ant went back to Florida. Jeremy stayed here.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Which is kind of weird because he was really bad last night. You would imagine, you know, you play like that because you're coming back off like a 15-hour flight from Japan or something.
Yeah.
You know?
That man did not look like he was ready for the
It's the worst I've ever seen Jeremy play.
What was going on with him afterwards? Was there any sort of dealing with anything? Was it just
I think it's just the rust. I mean, you look around the NBA, I mean, that's what it was last night in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, that was something special from Jeremy, though, because we haven't seen him. We literally have not seen him play like that.
No, but I mean, you look at, you know,
one of 12 from the field, one of 5 from 3.
And smoking layups, making bad choices.
Missing free throws.
Turnovers on drives, you know. It was bad across the board. But, I mean, again, you look around the NBA last night, you had a Pacers team knock off the Grizzlies. This kind of looked weird. The Sixers suck, but, you know, it is what it is. The Magic come back and beat the Hawks. The Knicks and Bulls went to overtime. You know, you just kind of go down the list. The Spurs kind of ran the Suns out of the building without Wemby.
Weird.
It was just like, and if you look, like, the leading scorer for the Suns last night was Royce freaking O'Neal. I mean, it was just like, what is going on around the league right now? And I think that you just get that post All-Star break hangover, a little bit of rust. Guys are a little, you know, I guess rusty, but the Lakers didn't have that because they played the night before.
Sure. And, I mean, I just think that LeBron James, 11 turnovers last night was...
And boy,
whoa.
Were they bad. Like, every single one of those turnovers was loud, but the problem was for the Blazers is they had 5 turnovers in transition. So after turning them over or after getting out and doing something, they turned the ball over 5 times in transition.
That was ugly.
Which really ultimately ended up being the difference in the game.
But Tumani Kamara on the defensive end of the floor where he drawed a charge from LeBron where LeBron does his, I'm going to muscle you up.
He set it up
to perfection.
He set it up because the play before, he got called for the foul.
Yeah,
and he knew that LeBron was like, oh yeah, I got the foul on him last time. I'm gonna do it again. And two has this innate ability to take the bump, and then really sell it. Now he's not the Academy Award winning actor that Austin Reeves is. My God, that man got shot by a sniper rifle 15 different times.
That's a good conversation to have here because I saw you compare him to James Harden
because his flailing was incredible.
I will say.
Incredible.
Nothing compares to prime flopping James Harden, and that includes Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves is egregious.
I mean,
and we can agree 100%.
It was there was one where there was a reach, and he, instead of flopping on the reach, he tried to flop because he thought Rob Williams was going to hit him. Before Rob Williams touches him, he acts like he took a 50 cal to the shoulder and spins around in the lane, and I'm just like, they put it on the big screen, and everybody in the media section, there's Lakers media with me, Jovan Bu of The Athletic, he just laughed because it was just like, what
it was bad.
On earth is this?
There are some bad ones.
The one
puts
in the
on
corner
tape.
Late in the game on Scoot, he literally wasn't touched.
Not at all.
He wasn't touched, and he just crumples to the ground. It was like, goodness gracious, my man, have shame. Have an iota of shame.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. And I am card-carrying club member of the Laker Hater Club, and I proudly wear that. I still don't think he is at Harden levels. He has the potential to get there,
oh,
though.
It's incredible.
And I think it's only going to get worse.
Oh, as a Laker? Oh, God,
well,
yes.
Well, no, as they continue not to have a big man. Because if you can't get the easy buckets inside with a traditional big, right?
Oh, you got to get the
line. It's going to be him getting to the line. Is he's got to do that. And I honestly believe that there's going to be a more concerted effort to do that. We saw it last night, obviously. And it's going to amplify with Austin Reeves because there is no other way for them to get either those easier looks. And look, that's creating looks at the free throw line and your 3-foot bunnies when you can't do it with the traditional big.
You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this in the, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Like, he's good at it.
He's great at it.
Yeah. It is absolutely. Like,
it's frustrating.
And he has leveled up to one of the best in the league at it. Like, if you look at this guy sideways, he's going to roll.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely insane.
That's why I want to see him get run out of more games, though, for complaining when he doesn't get those calls.
He doubles down, too.
I think if you flop, you should get run. Like, if you flop and they don't call it and you complain, you run him.
I mean, he's got a resting Tim Duncan face.
If you want to curtail flopping,
yeah,
that's the way you do it.
No, he is testing the extremes of what NBA officials will call.
Well, as it went down the stretch, though, Blazers kept it close. They whittled back from a quarter and a half just thrown away, wasted.
I mean, they were down 18. This thing was going to be over.
Gobble it up, just toss it in the bin.
Yeah.
They fought their way back, and then, again, the officiating not good. I really don't care.
No. I don't care about the officiating.
People can say they were saving the Lakers all they want. Did you want the Blazers to win that game?
Yes, because a lot of people did, because I will tell you right now, a lot of Blazers fans made that decision to sell those tickets. There were a lot of Laker fans in that building last night. When LeBron scored, it was a roar. I will say at the end of the night, I tweeted about it, there was multiple groups of Laker fans being thrown out by security in the droves, arguing, fighting. And one of the guys got in one of the security guards' faces, who's I know he's been there for years. He's a very large man. And every ounce of me, because I'm a terrible person, was like, do it.
Get it.
Please get in his face. He is going to throw you down those stairs. Please do it.
Unfortunately, my son was one of those Laker fans in the building last night. Yep. He got to go with his buddy Marcus, and they had, like, it was a last minute thing.
Mm.
And it was like, at first I was like, he's got basketball practice. I went the good dad route. I was like, no, he's going to, and I was offered the ticket. I was going to go, and I was like, I can't. I got to coach this basketball. We don't have another coach.
How many times is your kid going to get to see LeBron play live?
I know. And it's his favorite player. And he's like, what about Ben? And I said, yep.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
I mean, because
he's got to go.
I mean,
they had a great time.
Bron had 40.
But that was the thing, too, is that he said that. He goes, Dad, there were so many Laker fans. And I go, yeah, you'll learn to hate that.
Yeah.
You'll learn to hate that. You won't be a Laker fan forever.
More than half the crowd.
Yeah.
It was.
That makes my blood boil every time the Lakers or the Warriors are in town. And, like, look.
It doesn't happen when the team's great, though.
No, it doesn't. That's what I was going to say.
When the team is great, there are Laker fans in the building. There are Warriors fans in the building when the Steph death lineup was really cooking. Don't get me wrong. But those series in the late 90s, they're Laker fans in the building. The crowd was still 88-90% Blazers fans. Yeah. Like, when those great, truly great Blazers teams that were competing for Western Conference Finals and thought of as an NBA championship contender, those teams always, like, you'll get some road fans that'll show up. Sure, that'll happen, but you still don't get that. Or when they do show up, they have to pay $600 to get in the building, in which case, extorting Laker fans, I'm entirely fine with.
We're okay with it. LeBron did become the first ever NBA player to have multiple 40-point games after turning 40 years old?
I mean, he was incredible last night, with the exception of the turnovers. 4 of 8 from three. He got hot kind of late in the game, and that's, I think, it ultimately ended up being the difference in the game. But him in transition, did you see this? The where he geared down, like first gear, second gear, and just to two defenders? He's just so smart.
Yeah.
He's so good that he just sets you up, and he just gets down just almost to a stop, and then just explodes and lays it up. And he had Donovan Klingon confused at the rim a couple times, finished over him with the left hand, and Donovan just walked up the court like shaking his head like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I did everything right. How did he finish that?
Yeah,
like,
he's literally been doing it before
longer,
you were born.
Yeah, longer than you've been alive,
they
man.
They showed a graphic last night on the broadcast when they brought Havistro on. There are three Blazers that were not even alive when LeBron made his NBA debut.
So Scoot, Donovan, Shaden? No, Roos.
Nope, Rupair.
Yeah.
Shaden Sharp was 5 months old.
Yeah.
Jabari Walker was one. And so
Bron played with his dad.
Yeah. So you think of that.
Or against his dad.
Yeah, Donovan, you have no answers because he has literally every single answer because he's seen absolutely everything.
Yeah.
He is still incredible. He is amazing. I'm in awe of just watching how he's able to do it at 40 years old. Like the dunk that he had two nights ago against Charlotte.
Goodness.
The moves and the gear and the changing speeds that he still has the ability to do at an elite level at 40 years old. It is pretty incredible. But at the same time, he also took shots last night from PK Subban, the hockey analyst.
Yes.
That I think are justified.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting what PK Subban said about the Four Nations Cup and LeBron James. I tend to agree with him. We'll dive into that next because it was about the want to, right? Because I feel LeBron could have played in the All-Star game with his first two performances.
But he had the ankles been bothering him for years.
There you go. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. The Portland Trailblazers fell to the Lakers last night, 110-102. LeBron James went for 40 points. He did have 11 turnovers, makes our hearts warm.
Mm.
As one Blazer fan said, had courtside seats, had to listen to LeBron stand screaming like sorority girls whenever he touched the ball. Gosh, that's annoying.
It is. You know what,
that's
though?
That's annoying.
Covering the game for as long as I have now and kind of seeing guys' careers, when you see LeBron James play and when you see a top 10, like when KD comes in the building, like when Steph comes in the building, boo them and do all that, but also have some reverence.
Yeah.
Like, when those guys are, particularly those three guys, Steph, Bron, KD, you're talking about three top 10 players that are currently playing in the NBA right now. That's not going to keep happening. Like, Jokic is going to be there, and he's going to be in the top 10 when it's all said and done. Giannis has a real opportunity to be that. But, like, after that, you're going to hope that Wemby becomes one of those guys. You're going to hope that Cooper Flagg becomes one of those guys. Like, enjoy those moments, particularly if you're in the building to see those guys live, because they are different.
Yeah, and those are the times that you sit there and you're like, you know, we all remember if we got to see Jordan play. I got to see Jordan play in the Blazers in the finals in the Memorial Coliseum. Yep. That is something I will never forget. Like, I remember going and watching, you know, Sean Kemp or having Larry Bird was a big one for me. Like, being able to go and see Larry Bird
Kobe.
Awesome.
I mean, watching Kobe come into Portland and lose over and over again, it was still cool. Even, like, looking back as a kid, it was still cool. But and the great thing about with Kobe was he admitted how difficult.
Yeah.
This was the hardest place for him to play every single time.
The LeBron, though, caught some strays from PK Subban.
I don't think it was a stray. I think it was a full-on shot.
Well, it was a stray because he never named him.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew who he was talking about.
Well, we knew who he was talking about, but he didn't name names. But PK Subban, while promoting the Four Nations on ESPN yesterday, went on a pretty elaborate rant.
It was about a minute-and-a-half long rant.
Of saying, you know, the reason why the Four Nations matters is because these guys care.
Yeah.
And
the give-a-damn factor is juice to the gills.
They play because they're getting paid. And he said there's guys that are getting paid $100, $200, $300 million over their careers, and they're not going out and playing. They're resting. And there's a reason why it doesn't work when you're resting. The guys in the NHL say, no, if I'm getting that money, I'm going to do everything I can to be out on the ice.
And they're getting a lot less.
Play. They are getting a lot less than
big-time earners in the NHL are like $8 to $10 million a year.
And it was a shot at LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. And I think that one thing that is really interesting is that the discourse on social media was like, this is why you can't hold him to the Jordan standard, right? We went over this the other day. Like, LeBron has played 82 games once in his career. But the list of seasons where he's played 81, 80, 72 79, plus. 77, It's most of his career.
Yes, it is. And not only that, like we were talking about this in the break, like Denny Avdia is 245 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude. He looks small next to LeBron. LeBron's probably playing at like 265, 270.
Just
at
rocked 40, out.
Just jacked to the gills. And it's like the care that he takes and the preparation and just how big he is and how many, we talked about how many minutes. We did this in the break yesterday. He's played something like 50 days of
50
continuous
days of basketball.
Of like timed basketball regular season games. And it was like, I think it ended up being like 9 or 10 more days in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It was just like, what? Like, this guy has 2 months straight of actual continuous basketball.
But do you think that where LeBron, and this is like the whole legacy and stop comparing him to Jordan thing, is that LeBron has made it acceptable to be like, no, it's fine if you don't play. And that was never the case for any of the other stars where there is like a realization and rationalization from LeBron of, the biggest star in the league made it acceptable to be like, no, you don't have to play. And he's been vocal about that over his career.
I blame him for the dunk contest. I don't blame him for the load management stuff. I was actually having this discussion.
See, I blame Kobe for the dunk contest because he's the one that said, why would I go out there and
lose to Vince? Yeah.
And it's like, that opened the door for LeBron.
It did, but LeBron had the chance to right that wrong and do it. And they talked about doing it, and then he just completely bowed out of it. But I was having this conversation with a bunch of folks in the NBA actually yesterday. The folks I blame for load management are the San Antonio Spurs. Greg Popovich, RC Buford, and because the Spurs are the organization that they are, everybody saw them do the load management thing originally with Tim Duncan and Kawhi Leonard, but it wasn't just that it worked, it's that look at the Spurs, they're the model organization.
Yeah.
If they're doing it, then we should be doing it too. And now there's being research done that shows that while load management is a viable thing, it is not necessarily this thing that like elongates career or prevents injury. It is really a case-by-case basis. Like if you're Joel Embiid and you came into the NBA with 3 red flags medically, yeah, you probably should be load managed. You're 7'1", 350 pounds, and you have degenerative knee issues. Like, yeah, I get that. But for the most, like, LeBron James was not load managed until late in his career. And I mean, again, he's our age.
And he still hasn't had a catastrophic injury
in
his career.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, for the most part, up until the last couple of years, he didn't load manage. He played. Yeah. The only times he missed games was when he would pick up a rolled ankle or pick up, the knocks that come across the normal 82.
And that's where I think the PK Subban thing missed the mark a little bit. I think that when people are now talking about what LeBron's legacy is going to be, LeBron James is, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's had touched by the hand of God and just given every single tool in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big difference between LeBron and a Jordan or any of the all-time greats is that LeBron was never the guy to create it on his own. Mm-hmm. He always picked up what somebody else has done before him.
Sure.
And it's worked to incredible success in his career. Like Jordan, it was, I'm going to be maniacal, and I'm going to change the way my body looks and operates because they're going to say, I can get fouled, and that's how you're going to stop me with the Jordan rules? Mm-mm. No, I'm going to power right through you.
Yeah, I'm going to get bigger, stronger, more physical, and I'm going to be even more of a problem.
And he was maniacal in the quest to win, want to win, need to win, and was just a dog. Kobe was also
the mom mentality stuff.
That he copied Jordan's game, but he was like, "No, I'm even going to copy that mentality." LeBron doesn't have that mentality that separates him differently, right? Where it's like LeBron is going to always be, and his legacy will be, instead of saying, "I'm going to force it and it will work here," I'm going to go somewhere else and do it. If you don't bend to me, then I'll leave. Leave Cleveland. I'll go to Miami. I'll leave Miami when you guys say my whole entourage can't fly on the team plane. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to Cleveland. Then I'm going to bolt and I'm going to go to L.A. Like, that is going to be it because he's like, if I can't push us, like Kobe, Jordan, the all-time greats there. No, I'm going to drag this team to where we need to be. LeBron is, I'll go somewhere else where we can do it and we'll just hit a reset, which is a hack.
Yeah, no,
it is a hack.
But here's the thing. My pushback to this is, number one, Jordan wasn't playing in a player empowerment era where those moves were viable.
Nope.
He also had a running mate in Scottie Pippen that was there every step of the way. He also had Dennis Rodman. You know, he also had all the support. He also had the coach that worked, you know, with Phil Jackson. And I think those are the things. I mean, Kobe was this close to leaving, remember?
Yep.
He was going to Chicago. You know. And they go and they make a deal, and they swindle the Memphis Grizzlies, and well, not necessarily swindle, but Powell for Marc Gasol. And
I think that they did.
It's a swindle.
They swindled him.
But again, Mark was great, but Powell's a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, that's I think there is a difference there. But they go and get Powell Gasol, and they have Andrew Bynum and Lamar Odom, and you know, they all of a sudden they've got this team that it's still so funny to watch people on social media that are under the age of like 27, like Kobe Bryant carried this team to the finals. And I'm like, oh, you mean the one with the multiple All Stars and the other Hall of Famer? That team that he carried, like, in their primes?
That's the and that thing is they, it's we the do dumbest that with quarterbacks in the, yeah. in the NFL all the time too. It's like, dude, you're gonna ignore the defense or the run game mm-hmm. that helps quarterbacks out, or the fact that they have every great quarterback has a great receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, they legitimately a great receiver. They have them.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing in Cleveland. LeBron didn't have that.
Nope.
I mean, it was, I mean, the closest comparison to that team really was the Allen Iverson 76ers, and where it was like one truly great player with some subpar role players, and that man drug those teams to the highest of mountains.
Went to the finals, and then went to Miami, though, in what I think the decision should not be dragged, like the show, and that idea to do it, because that wasn't one LeBron's idea.
Mm.
The money went to charity.
It was like $4 million with the Boys and Girls Clubs of I think the greater Cleveland area.
But that idea that I'm going to go, and I'm just going to team up with my friends, and we're going to create this superpower.
Mm.
That is going to tarnish the legacy, because that's
it's weird
where
to think
it's
about
different.
Though where in that vein, I originally thought this about LeBron, like the whole like he ran from the grind thing, and then it was like, or did he just go get what every other superstar already had? Like when we talk about the greats of all time, like Larry Bird didn't leave because he had everything in Boston. Michael Jordan didn't leave because he had everything in Chicago. Magic Johnson didn't leave L.A. because he had everything in L.A.
But I think then he did leave Miami. Mm-hmm. Then he did leave Cleveland again. And then he...
Well, the big part about that, though, is Chris Bosh's, you know, career-ending
blood clot. But at the same time, you could have, in the player empowerment era, gotten somebody else down there. It was you didn't like the fact that there was pushback organizationally from Pat Riley. And then you go and you say, all right, well, then I'm just going to go make a new super team here, and I'm going to go make a new super team here. I think that's going to be the tarnish.
In the Last Dance, I mean,
talk about
Jordan and Jerry Krause. You know, like that stuff was not good. And
no.
But what ended up happening was Jordan won out.
But you also have they hit the jackpot on Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman comes up.
Like
Tony Kukoc, Steve Kerr.
Boy, did they make him pay for that.
They had so many guys around him, mm-hmm. and they put guys around him.
Where in Cleveland, that the first times particularly,
first time
was
they didn't.
Not the case. But when he came back, get it, what they did.
They did.
They go and trade the number one overall pick for Kevin Love.
Yep.
Like, I mean...
And they had Kyrie Irving there already.
Yeah, and guess what LeBron did? Until
win the title.
Until things went.
His greatness as a player, is at one of
the
all-time.
It's the adaption.
But it is the way he went about it is something that, you call it adaption, mm-hmm. but it's also what people are saying is the downfall and ruining of the NBA. And like that is it. Guys bouncing around, teaming up. There's the parity just evaporates and it goes away. And nobody talked about that. And look, we don't talk about it in the NFL because great quarterbacks, they don't jump around from team to team and go and do this, right?
I mean,
Brady stays in one place mm-hmm. for two decades, and then at the tail end mm-hmm. of his career, just like Joe Montana, you know, leaves and goes somewhere else. Patrick Mahomes right now is in the same spot doing it with the same people, and it's viewed so much differently because when you stay in one spot, that is, all right, the rest of the league needs to catch up. Not this moving target of the NBA of, all right, which one is it going to be of Miami, L.A., mm-hmm. New York, Boston?
The NFL quarterback situation, too, like our comparison. You know, the only times we ever have truly great quarterbacks changing teams are towards the end of their career with Brady or when there's injury or seismic organizational change. And, you know, Peyton Manning going to Denver, Drew Brees' shoulder and going to New Orleans, Montana going to Kansas City because there's Steve Young behind him. Like the only times you ever really saw those truly like top 10 all-time quarterbacks change teams, there was very, very seismic changes or injuries or, you know, unfortunate slash fortuitous luck in the Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck situation. You know, I mean,
no doubt.
Those are the situations where things changed.
All right. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. We are at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Oregon Convention Center. The fan's going to be here all day. We're here till 3, and then at 3 o'clock, prime time with Isaac and Suk take over until 7. All right, coming up next, they are so back in New York. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Big move in the New York Yankees organization today. Beards are back. Hal Steinbrenner running the show. He now says beards are okay. A statement from the general managing partner says, in recent weeks, I've spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees spanning several eras to elicit their perspectives on our long-standing facial hair and grooming policy, and I appreciate their earnest and varied feedback. These most recent conversations are an extension of ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years. Ultimately, the final decision rests with me, and after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow players and uniform personnel to have well-groomed beards moving forward. It is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy. That is literally something that an owner of a baseball team wrote, saying we will allow beards.
I don't like it.
You don't like that they're going to allow beards?
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
The whole idea is that you are the evil empire. You are beardless. You are pinstripes. You are tradition. Yeah. And this is like, this would be like Alabama or USC or Michigan. Like, I want them to have a different jersey in football. But there is something about
the tradition.
Like, yeah. This feels like it's not just like a breakaway from tradition. In the sense of, like, if you have, like, if you're you know, USC, Alabama, Michigan, where you've got, like, these are, you have basically four jerseys.
And yeah, the alternate for Penn State is throwing a number on the side of the helmet.
Yeah, that's what I'm like.
Whoa!
But that's okay. Like, that's not changing tradition. Yeah. You're just sprinkling in a little something. Like,
their throwbacks are adding more to the uniform. Literally adding numbers to the side of the helmet. Yeah. That's their throwback.
Like, that's okay. That's not breaking away from what you are. The whole idea of, like, every time somebody gets traded to the Yankees or they sign as a free agent and they have facial hair.
Johnny Damon got ugly when he went to the Yankees.
You know what's coming.
Yep.
Hey, that beard, it's got to go, buddy.
Bye-bye.
There was something intrinsic about that. And don't get me wrong, I hate the Yankees, but I always appreciated, even if I thought it was like, oh, this is very dumb, but like, I still, the fact that was kind of an identifying trait of the Yankees under the Steinbrenners, like that was a thing that like became synonymous with being a Yankee, was that it's almost militaristic. It's a setting of bearing and culture, and like it was a direct tie to like what you associate as Yankeedom.
No facial hair below the upper lip. Mm-hmm. That was the rule. You could have a stash, and that was it.
I wonder if there was a free agent that like they went after and they were just like...
That's why Juan Soto left. Juan Soto's like, I want to be a Met because they're going to let me have a beard. I don't know. I think 50 years...
Something had to cause them to revisit this, like legitimately do it.
Like probably a lawsuit. Saying, you're really going to allow us... They're not allowed to have facial hair.
This is like calling a man bald.
Yeah, right there.
Same.
How are you going to take away my manliness?
My sexual attractiveness.
I love, there's a story that popped up. Lou Piniella once had a meeting with George Steinbrenner about this a long time ago. And Piniella said, Jesus Christ had long hair and a beard. Why can't we have beards and long hair? It says the Yankee owner showed him a small pond beyond the outfield fence. You see that pond? Steinbrenner asked. Walk across that pond and you can have a beard and long hair.
And that is exactly what I mean. That is exactly what I mean. What? There is something tied to that of like that made that, you know, the Steinbrenner Yankees, the, you know, synonymous.
You walk across that pond, Pally, and at that point you can have a beer and like
just hand him a glass of water, turn it into wine, buddy.
I would love it though if like one of those Yankees in like the 80s, early 90s, you know, when David Copperfield was huge.
Oh yeah,
one of them just hires out Copperfield and is like, hey, I need you to do something. I need to figure out how you do that walk across the water thing. Because Steinbrenner's going to be in his office, and I'm going to have my agent call him and say, look down at the pond. And I'm going to be walking across that thing because I want my beard and hair. I want my beard and hair. How do you not do that? Just Copperfield with the great illusion. There's one Yankee that gets to do it, and Steinbrenner's like, hey, walk on water.
Copperfield had me hold the car up on my back, so if he can do that, he can have Lupinello walk on water.
What am I going to do? I mean, he walked on water. This is what has to happen.
Unbelievable.
But Yankees, they will have beards now. I think Johnny Damon is the person most adversely affected by this. That man was like a sex symbol in Boston when he had a beard. He shaved that thing off. He went from like a 10 to a 7.
Look, not all of us have the ability. Like, if I
see
shave...
a square jawline, though. He's still a handsome
look,
man.
If I shave the goatee and mustache off, it's not a good look. I don't. There's not a lot of defining features on my face outside of my facial hair. Well, so it's a tough place to be.
Get ready for Aaron Judge to grow a beard. I don't think he can grow facial hair.
No, I don't think him or Stanton can.
The old head Yankee fans, though, are young Jake, who's here running the YouTube subject. He showed me some of the reactions of older Yankee fans, and they're like, "Buff, you start this, what's next? We're going to have, like, nipple rings?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was literally something that old people yelling at the clouds are saying.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you could have an entire roster of dudes with nipple rings, and you don't know.
See the stud through the jersey?
Well, with the Fanatics jerseys, I think we'd probably all know.
Yeah, you'd see it. Yeah, you see everything.
All right, let's get to our number two, because last night the Blazers did play, but they were on the second screen for me. Four Nations, baby. Four Nations. The United States did not win 80-0.
Hey, they still won the last 31 Stanley Cups.
Oh, man. Let's talk about that game, because that was still really cool, and the energy was palpable. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.